Welcome to the Daily News Podcast with host Daniel Beard.
Hello and welcome to the Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Beard, and one of the editors of Share Moving Media's Daily News. Today, we are joined by Jim Poggi. He's the physician office lab columnist and expert for the Journal of Healthcare Contracting and Repertoire, and he's principal at Tested Insights. Today, we are once again following up on COVID-19 testing, how many tests have been approved, how providers are using these tests, and what challenges are arising with more testing capability. Abbott's new 5-minute test got the headlines late last week and over the weekend. Jim, what's the latest on COVID-19 testing overall, and how many have been approved?
Yeah, thanks, Daniel. That's a great question, and man, is it dynamic. So FDA is releasing these under emergency use authorization, as I think most of our folks know. 2 days ago, there were 20 tests. Overnight, two more were authorized. So there's now 22. In addition to CDC's method, LabCorp and Quest both have their own reference lab methods that are approved now for emergency use. And a lot of the large-scale manufacturers have also brought out notable products. Quidel is out there. Abbott is out there both with their high-throughput RT-PCR product as well as their ID Now product, which you mentioned got a lot of ink over the weekend. Roche, Hologic, Thermo Fisher, Cepheid, BioFire, and a bunch of others round out the list. It's a very broad and rapidly growing list. I think when you look at what's happening, you have to ask yourself the question, how is this product going to be used? And my view right now is it's about two things. It's about having reagents available, and it's about the installed base of systems that are already in place and ready to use. I think ID Now is in a good place with the number of systems, since most of them have been in physician office settings and people aren't going in those settings now. I think they're going to have to shift their location, but they're easily adaptable to any other point of care setting. And the folks at Cepheid have also done a really good job of dropping installed base into tertiary care settings. So I think both of those folks and certainly the others are in a pretty strong position right now to develop testing quickly in the public health interest.
Okay, great. And how are providers using these tests? You mentioned that people might not be going to their physicians' offices right now, and that might have changed some of the usage. But how is that so?
Yeah, thanks, Daniel. The landscape is unlike anything I've seen in a very long time. People are being discouraged from going to their physician office and even discouraged from going to the emergency room without first answering a set of questions that typically come to them through their healthcare provider or through the hospital. Then those who pass the qualifications that they've recently traveled or been exposed, have fevers and other symptomatology, are sent to a location typically where they'll be subjected to drive-through testing. You may have seen on the internet over the last couple of days, Central Park set up with a bunch of tents for testing. This is becoming largely the way it's being done in decentralized locations adjacent to the hospital, but not on the hospital grounds or directly nearby. So it's unlike anything I've ever seen before.
What challenges are arising with more testing capability? I know just, from our perspective or even from a layman's perspective, it's shocking to see tents arise like in Central Park and things of that nature. But what challenges are arising with more capability?
You know, it's a great question also, Daniel. A couple things going on. First of all, in the environment, but not related to testing itself, availability of personal protective equipment has become a tremendously dramatic issue for the supply chain. People are scrambling to get PPE right now, and there's a lot of concern amongst healthcare workers that the supply at the moment is not sufficiently robust. So that's an issue related to the setting, but not to testing. Around testing, we're having challenges around availability of viral transport swabs. All the major manufacturers of vital transport swabs are either on allocation or on back order right now. And I would say that while the manufacturers have done a great job getting their tests and their systems qualified under emergency use authorization right now. I remain needing to be convinced that the scale up for reagent manufacturing can catch up to demand quickly. I think we've got some outstanding high-end suppliers, and I know they're going to get us there eventually. I don't know that we're there right now. I think we'll need to get some feedback from the healthcare community to really know that for sure. But I think availability of PPE, swabs, and testing reagents right now are the three key parameters to watch.
Well, Jim, it seems like the news around testing changes every day. And I know heading into April, that will probably be the case as well. So I want to thank you so much for joining us today and keeping us up to date with COVID-19 testing. Thanks again, Jim.
Daniel, thank you. It's always a pleasure working with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to provide a little input.
Great. Thank you. And listeners, you can find our COVID-19 pandemic coverage on jhconline.com and repertoiremag.com. And you can find the daily news in your email inbox each and every day. We thank Jim again. Thank you.
Right. Bye now.